This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch.
With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination.
And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Are you working? What kind of work do you do?
This is the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Touchdown! 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 Georgia!
Now here are your hosts, two-time All-American punter Drew Butler.
Drew Butler, leader in the country in punts 49+. See if he booms this one. He does. Wow.
And Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, and SEC championship winning quarterback Jake Fromm.
Flea flicker to get the night started. Downfield looking for Godwin into his hands. And guess which dogs are barking first?
Now with the latest from around the SEC and the world of college football, it's the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Dogs are winners. A national championship for a new generation of Bulldogs.
Victory is mine. Yeah, surprisingly, I've been lame, waiting for your next mistake. I put in work and watch my status escalate.
Your cornballs get stolen.
Welcome in to the Punt and Pass Podcast. I'm your host, Drew Butler, joined alongside my co-host, Jake Fromm. Be sure to follow us on social media, at Punt and Pass on X and Instagram. I think that's the first time I've said X. I'm at Drew Butler. He's at FromJakePuntandPass.com, the number one destination for all things college football. Well, it's a bittersweet episode. We only got one more game left, Jake. It means it's the end of the college football season. The college football playoff national championship game is happening on Monday nights in Houston, Texas. Number one Michigan against number two Washington. We'll dive into all of that. We got a couple of other news and notes across the college football landscape that we'll break down for all of our awesome listeners. But first things first, how are you, brother? What's going on?
Yeah, man, doing great. Doing pretty good. Can't complain. It's just, I'm just thinking it's so bittersweet, man. All good things must come to an end.
Yeah.
The college football season is ending. So is our football season here in Washington. So, you know, the NFL playoffs are starting up, but man, for a lot of guys, season's over. So we just kind of turning that switch in our brains and in our bodies. And when you enjoy football season so much, you hate to see it come to an end. But man, you just start kind of looking forward to next year and all those good things. So that's kind of where I'm at, man. Want to finish strong and really start this new year off on a good note.
Absolutely. So the Washington Commanders hosting the Dallas Cowboys week 18. Unfortunately, the Commanders not going to the playoffs. So Monday or Tuesday, you'll have your exit interviews with the coaches, and then you'll be on the way home. What is on the schedule really for the next 10 days when you get home? Are we hunting? Are we golfing? Are you sitting on the couch? Does the diet go by the wayside? What is Jake Fromm doing from January 8th until just call it January 18th?
Oh, yeah. So, man, we wife and I are probably going to get out of here pretty quick, drive home, maybe Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. So just think Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I would love to be duck hunting that morning. So
duck hunting. Okay.
I only have 3 weeks of duck hunting this season, right? Duck hunting goes out January 31st, and I'm going to try to get as many days in as I can. However, wife and I have a beach trip planned up.
Sweet.
Coming up pretty soon.
Little baby moon action.
Little baby moon action also coming up here in January. So we're getting ready for that. Want to catch some rays, get some vitamin D. And it's just something me and her have always enjoyed, just getting out, get to the beach. She loves it. So we're going to get back from that and then try to crush out some more duck hunting.
So you can kill as many ducks as you want. Is there any limit or can you just blast away?
Yeah, so in Georgia and most of the other states, I believe it's six ducks a day. Now, which species of ducks you can kind of play with, with how you get to your full limit bag. It's a little bit different in different states depending on what you can do. But you can kind of play with those numbers, get six ducks. Usually in Georgia, you're going to shoot your three wood ducks and be about done because there's not that many other species of ducks that fly frequently around. But man, it's fun. I enjoy it. Get to be with the guys.
Sweet.
And If it flies, it dies.
Maybe I'll come join you one day if I'm lucky enough to get the invite again. If you want to imagine the Wedding Crashers scene of, I don't even know what the F quill looks like, that would be me standing next to you hunting ducks. So yeah, we have a good weekend coming up. Couple of football games, obviously NFL final weekend. The FCS National Championship is on Saturday. I would urge all of you to watch that. Great football. I believe it's North Dakota State against Montana. That game's in Frisco, Texas. Always fun to check in on that action. And of course, the national championship game on Monday night. Before we get to other news and notes around college football, got to mention, because they've been awesome partners all season long, that this episode is presented to you by Prize Picks. Download the Prize Picks app, use the promo code PUNT. You get a 100% deposit match up to your first $100. Prize Picks offers projections on any sport that you watch: NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, college football, college basketball, women's college basketball, soccer, NASCAR, esports, literally everything. How about PGA Tour golf? I put in a little entry last night. They're out in Maui and I won. It's that simple. Use the promo code PUNT when you download Prize Picks. Pick 2 to 6 players. Guess if they will go more or less in their Prize Picks projection. You can win 25x your money. Download the Prize Picks app. Check them out on social media at Prize Picks, prizepicks.com. Promo code PUNT. 100% deposit match up to your first $100. We'll start in Athens. Some news out of Athens later this week. A couple of big announcements of guys coming back on the lines of scrimmage, which I think is probably really important. First things first, on the offensive line, Tate Ratledge announces he's coming back for his final year. I would have to assume, Jake, that Carson Beck's decision to come back was probably contingent on some of his linemen telling him, hey, I'll be back next year as well. Am I on base there, or was maybe Tate Ratledge coming back because Carson Beck said he was coming back?
Yeah, I think those two things can be a little synonymous. Like, I think there's conversations being had with the guys throughout the team. Hey, what are you doing? What are you thinking? What are you feeling? What kind of grades you get? I'm thinking about coming back. Hey, the more guys you get on the same page, especially if they're coming back, like that's just gearing up to have a really good team going into the offseason. So I know that I am 99% sure that the conversations being had were pretty fluid. And really, I'm sure Carson was letting guys know kind of what he was feeling and probably let guys know early what he's going to do. But, you know, I think that you have to do what's best for you. But I think when there's enough guys buying in and coming back, you could see that potentially starting to have a snowball effect.
No question. I mean, it's just like when these guys are getting recruited out of high school, you talk to one another, you want to play together. You're strengthening the bond, not only between the guys in the locker room, but also hopefully to have more success on the field. And again, Tate Ratledge, an All-American, he announces he is coming back. That's big time for this offense. On the defensive line, Nazir Stackhouse, he announces that he's coming back. I think this is key because clearly Georgia is going to address bolstering the defensive line, but having that leadership of a guy like Nazir to be there with that experience, to lead the younger guys, maybe they further address it in the portal, Jake. They certainly have their recruiting. He announces he's coming back. And again, that's leadership. Carson Beck, Tate Ratledge, Nazir Stackhouse, these are guys that have been in the program for a long time. They're part of the culture that everybody talks about so much surrounding Georgia football. And that was another big announcement on a Friday for Georgia.
Yeah, another big one. You know, you have Nazir, you have Tate, like guys in the trenches. That's where the huge differentiator is on the field,
huge,
especially in the SEC. It's just having the interior guys win the line of scrimmage and set that line of scrimmage. So there's a physicality, there's a toughness there, especially when you have good veteran players who are coming back. Really sets a tone for your entire football team.
No question about it. Carson Beck was named Georgia's MVP by ESPN. I think that's right. A lot of people probably point to Brock Bowers. You know, Brock missed 3 games. He was banged up all season long. He still produced at an extremely high clip. The 3rd 3-time All-American in Georgia football history in rarefied air, no doubt about it. But Carson Beck getting named Georgia's MVP by ESPN's Adam Rittenberg, I think is the right thing to do. So many times early on in the season, Jake, you and I included, people were clamoring for Carson Beck to just kind of let loose. And you know when he did? It's when Carson Beck got hurt. Brock Bowers got hurt. When Brock Bowers got hurt, Carson Beck really took the reins of the offense specifically, but of the football team, and led them to yet another undefeated regular season, was extremely efficient. And the fact that he's coming back next year, it's huge. It cannot be understated.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to take us to math class here, and I would say Carson Beck's growth throughout the year was not linear. It was exponential.
Great job,
Jake. You like that?
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
I do like that. Class is in session.
He just kept getting better, and then towards the end of the season, man, you really started to see him make strides and strides and strides, like you mentioned, when Brock Bowers goes down. And I think they got it right, man. I think without Carson, and I think another wild card here for this MVP is Mike Bobo as well.
Oh yeah, like, for sure.
Bobo, I think, did a fantastic job of calling plays, putting guys in the right spot, and letting Carson do what Carson does best, letting it rip, putting guys in the right spot. I loved it. I really like what I saw, and I'm excited to see how they can grow and build on it next year.
You'd have to think Coach Bobo is feeling pretty good about the offense that he will have to call next year. Carson Beck, quarterback, of course, coming back. Ernest Green on the line. Tate Ratledge on the line. How about these skill positions? Dylan Bell, Dominic Lovett, they'll be back. They played there last year. You get Trevor Etienne from Florida in the transfer portal. Yeah. You get Vanderbilt wide receiver London Humphreys. You get the Miami wide receiver Colby Young. Of course, you have the running backs that are there as well. You're going to need it because the schedule's tough next year at Alabama, at Texas, at Ole Miss. It's going to be fun in 2024. It's unfortunate the Dogs didn't make it to the college football playoff. It's unfortunate they're not playing on Monday night, but you know what? They'll get another chance next year. All right, before we keep moving on, let's stick to Georgia for one more thing. I will just briefly mention, speaking of next year, Georgia has opened up as the early favorite in Las Vegas to win the 2024 college football playoff. I believe they are plus 500. They're 5-1. Right behind them is Alabama, then Ohio State, then Texas, then Michigan. So Georgia, the odds on favorite to win the college football playoff next year already, before this year's college football playoff national championship has been played. The one thing that I did want to get to, because this made waves earlier in the week, Julian Humphrey, a defensive back at Georgia, who was a highly recruited five-star that has been at Georgia and played a little bit. He announced he was going into the transfer portal. Okay, kind of come to expect that, right? Didn't get a lot of playing time, maybe didn't break through, maybe thinks he can go find greener pastures. 48 hours later, Jake, he announces he's not going to go transfer. He's going to stay at Georgia. He tweeted out or Instagrammed a picture of him with his family and Coach Muschamp. So obviously he was essentially, it seems like he was re-recruited to stay where he already is. The reason I bring this up is because his teammates roasted him on his Instagram, roasted him in the comments. I'm reading them from my phone. Tyke Smith comments, this is Julian Humphrey announcing he's staying at Georgia. I'm reading from my phone. Tyke Smith, what the hell? Troy Bowles, come on, cuz. Javon Bullard, man, are you leaving or not? Cry face emoji. Roderick Robinson, man, what you got going on? I mean, this is hilarious. Kendall Milton, bro, what? Cry face, cry face, cry face. Daniel Harris, cry face, cry face. WTF. Very funny stuff. Kamari Lassiter, this MF here, cry face, cry face. Lil Bros. They are roasting this guy for going into the portal and then announcing 48 hours later, I'm not leaving. Again, it just speaks to the culture at Georgia. Are you going? Are you not? Are you 1 foot in? Are you 1 foot out? Make up your mind, because you got to be all in to be a Georgia Bulldog. And I love seeing that, because look, you're in an NFL locker room right now. There's nothing like the camaraderie and the shit talking that goes on inside a locker room.
Yeah, no, there's nothing like it. If you've been blessed enough to be a part of that and know what that's like, it's a special deal. If you haven't, I'm sorry. There's nothing else that I know of yet in this world that compares to it.
Yeah.
And man, guys are going to be guys and gonna kind of rip on players, and it's just part of the good and the fun that all comes with it. But Yeah, I think sometimes guys don't even know where they're at. Sometimes they think the grass is greener on the other side. Maybe he got a little jingle in his pocket. I don't know. I think it's a good thing that he's staying, and he better get on the ship soon, because
no doubt.
That 2024 national championship ship is going to be leaving here soon with the winter workouts and the winter conditioning. So better get ready, better get your mind right, because the clock is about to start.
No question about it. So really funny. And I will just say this, you may or may not agree with me. I'd love your thoughts. Every single locker room that I've been in, I feel like from high school to Georgia to the NFL, the defensive backs, the DBs, they are by far and away the funniest. They are by far and away the loudest. And they are by far and away the most ruthless, meaning they will take down anybody. They will make fun of each other. They are straight up damn hilarious. And this DB group, obviously getting into Julian Humphrey's comments on Instagram and just tearing him apart, that's par for the course, I'm afraid.
Yeah, so for me and my experience, and you hit one of them for sure, there's always three position groups that just always cause the most chaos, getting into the most trouble, and you just know the team clown, so to speak, is going to come from one of these three rooms. It's either the DB room, like you mentioned, the wide receiver room,
yeah,
or the defensive line room.
Yeah, defensive lineman. But that's are defensive linemen different? Because the DBs and the wide receivers, they're kind of like two in the same. They're so outrageous and so funny. The defensive lineman, I get it. I just feel like that's a different type of almost comedy slash class clown, if you get it.
Yeah, no, I get that. And to me, what makes a defensive lineman get away with it even more is because they know they can get away with it. Because yeah. What are you going to do? You're going to say something to the biggest person
that's
on
right.
the field? Like, hey, well, I can say whatever I want, because what are you going to do about it?
That's
so
right.
That's what's going through their head. And for them, most of the time, anything goes.
That's too funny. And I totally agree. So shout out to the Georgia DBs holding Julian Humphrey accountable. I'm glad Julian Humphrey's back. That should be a great pickup, if you want to call it that, re-recruiting him to stay at Georgia. One more piece of transfer news. Ohio State announces they're getting Will Howard. Will Howard, longtime starter from Kansas State. He's going to Ohio State. Some are calling it Kyle McCord 2.0. Some in the media are saying it's not that big of an upgrade. Couldn't Ryan Day do better? Seems like Ohio State, the quarterback position there, would be one of the most lucrative in the country. An interesting pickup here. I don't really know what to think of it so far. I've always had a lot of respect for Will Howard. And again, like starting that many games of college football, certainly you can't take that for granted.
No, I mean, hey, he's got the reps. He's got starts. It's had the opportunity to play in big time games. And I think what maybe they're thinking at Ohio State is, hey, we have a really good machine working. Let's just find somebody who can go out and operate an offense and not screw this thing up for us, basically. And not that he's not a dynamic football player, but obviously they see something in him rather than trying to develop a younger guy. I think maybe they also think that their roster is built to win now. We need to go make a move at this thing and go and win a national championship next year. Like they're thinking, hey, yeah, we got to do this next year. So take the experience and take a guy who's kind of been there and done that out there at the college football level. And I think he's a really good football player, and I think he'll have success there.
No question about it. All right, let's dive into this national championship game. Before we do that, I got one more thing to mention. Sorry, I'm kind of all over the place. There was this other Instagram video going around from the Orange Bowl week, and it was a video of Kirby Smart walking into the press conference, and it was him, it was Bryant Gant, and it was Claude Felton, and Kirby just looked out of sorts. He looked bad, like straight up, and there was this video, and when I say out of sorts, like he looked totally out of it, looked like he had just woken up, looked like he might have had a long night. And the Instagram video was insinuating, man, Kirby must have had fun in Miami last night. Now, this is the press conference. This is the day before the game. Coaches don't usually get into that kind of stuff. My sources tell me Kirby Smart had a 102-degree fever, and they dragged him to that press conference. Now, if you have ever had, being an adult, you know, call it 35 or over, 102, 103 fevers, they hit you like you can't believe. When I got that piece of information that Kirby Smart was that sick, I thought to myself, one, I can't believe he made it to that press conference. Two, I can't believe they dragged him to that press conference. And then three, I got to give him a lot of props for just being able to stand on his feet and walk forward. To sit there, field those questions with a running 102-degree fever, God bless that guy, because I don't wish that on anybody. So if you have seen that almost semi-viral video and people were making light of it, that dude was struggling with a high fever. So I'm glad he's feeling better. It's amazing he was able to make it onto the sideline for the game. But, dude, those fevers, they knock you down so bad. Your body kills. I can't believe he did that. I cannot believe that.
Hey, just a guy who practices what he preaches.
No question, dude.
And hey, man, if he's asking for every little bit, every little ounce from his guys, that hey, man, I'm gonna show up and I'm gonna do the work too. So actually, little side story here. I had the stomach flu probably a month ago. I thought I was gonna die, man. I've never felt so bad before. I mean, like it just felt terrible, and it was for 24 hours.
I know.
And it was done. But, man, I didn't want to do anything.
I know. Especially not get up and start fielding questions. Like, no way, dude. No way. All right. I just had to get that off my chest because I saw it. And I was like, what's going on here? And then I got that detail. So, glad he's feeling better. Hopefully, he's getting a little bit of rest. Maybe he's at the beach with his 48 hours a year that he gets off. Exactly. All right. Time to talk about the College Football Playoff National Championship. Of course, you know me. I'll be on Prize Picks when I'm watching this awesome matchup. So before the game kicks off, head on over to my social media at Drew Butler. I will put up a DB3 piece, the last one of the year for college football. Go to Prize Picks, download the Prize Picks app, prizepicks.com. Use the promo code PUNT. You get a 100% deposit match up to your first $100. Can't wait. There's going to be so much action on the Prize Picks board for the College Football Playoff National Championship game. Monday night, January 8th, 8 p.m., Houston Texans, NRG Stadium, number one Michigan against number two Washington. Jake, it's the first time since 2019 that the College Football Playoff National Championship has consisted of the number one and number two teams. Right now, Michigan is a 4.5-point favorite. That number has held steady all week long. The total is 56.5 points, so a little bit higher. A lot of ways to look at this game. The first question I want to ask you is this, because you actually experienced this. Michigan won in a highly emotional overtime Rose Bowl game. Now they have to go back to Ann Arbor. Now they have to prepare for Washington. Then they have to travel to Texas. Okay. You and Georgia won a highly emotional overtime Rose Bowl game against Oklahoma. Then you had to go back to Athens, prepare for Alabama. Luckily, that game was in Atlanta. Is there anything to take from that much emotion going into that semifinal game? Michigan took a huge monkey off their back as well, finally getting to the national championship. That would make you think maybe they burn the ships in the semifinal game, or do you like how this team is built to say this is going to be a great matchup?
Yeah, I mean, you just threw me back thinking about that moment. And I mean, you almost couldn't even enjoy it because I remember Kirby yelling, get on the plane. We got to go home. Because he wanted, the competition never stops for him. He wanted to beat Alabama and or Clemson into bed that night. They're playing in the Sugar Bowl after us. Obviously, it's a shorter flight home from there. But he wanted to beat them by getting more rest and getting in bed earlier that night. So that's all I remember from the Rose Bowl game. We talk about that is an emotional win for Michigan as well. You can't let it exhaust you, right? You know, you have a week, and at some point, man, you gotta come back down to normal base, to normal feeling, and operate on a normal week. And then slowly let this thing creep up to the magnitude that it's going to. But if you start on Tuesday and Wednesday of taking it up to 150%, you're going to absolutely wear yourself out. So mentally, you just kind of slow play it just a little bit, and let each and every day slowly prepare you more and more and more for what this game is going to be like. This is going to be a long game.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be down the wire, four-quarter game, and it's going to mentally and physically absolutely drain you, and emotionally as well.
And you would have to think that Jim Harbaugh is kind of in that same ilk as Kirby Smart from a maniacal standpoint of wanting to uncover every advantage you possibly can. Even in his post-game press conference, and I thought Michigan players did a really good job. There was a huge celebration. Of course they rushed the field. Like, obviously. Every single one of them said, we have one more game to play, right? Like, yeah, you're going to celebrate. You just accomplished something. You just beat Alabama. You're going to the national championship. But as soon as the microphones got stuck in their face, they said, we got one more game to play. And Jim Harbaugh did the same thing. So I would think he took that same approach as well after the Rose Bowl game. That would negate my initial thought of, is there an advantage to Washington? Yeah, they played a great game as well. Texas tried to come back, but it was not as emotional as maybe that Michigan win was. There was a great clip that was going around earlier of Greg McElroy. Greg McElroy has his podcast. It's called Always College Football on the Omaha Productions Network. And he was talking about one of his encounters with Jim Harbaugh. It's back in 2015. Harbaugh had just taken the Michigan job, and he saw Harbaugh at a media days. And you know, Greg's been with ESPN, I think, since the beginning of the SEC network. Harbaugh comes up to him. He's like, hey, Greg, sir, are you done playing? Greg's like, yeah, you know, I finished up a couple years ago, decided that this is how I wanted to stay involved with the game. I wanted to go into broadcasting. I love it. I get to stay involved with college football. And, you know, it's been great. And Greg's telling the story. And he goes, Harbaugh looks at me and goes, oh, so you don't love football? And Greg's like, what do you mean? Like, I love football. That's why I'm in it. I get to stay involved. And he's like, no. You don't love football. If you love football, you play. And when you no longer play, you coach. And then when you no longer coach, you die. That's what McElroy's saying. He said, and Harbaugh was being dead ass serious. He's like, oh, you clearly don't love football if you get out of the game in any capacity, whether it's not playing or coaching. I thought that was very funny. And it is in line with some of the Jim Harbaugh stories that you hear all around. I've got one quick one. I don't want to talk your head off, but it was week 17. It was week 17 back then, last game of the season, 2014. Harbaugh, last game as the San Francisco 49ers coach. You got me? 49ers out of the playoffs. Arizona Cardinals in the playoffs, and we were a wild card team, so we were playing the next week. Jim Harbaugh played with my dad at the Chicago Bears. He was his holder, actually, for a couple of years. Well, pre-game, I'm warming up. What is that, an hour and a half before kickoff? The punters and kickers go out there and warm up. So I'm warming up, and I'm on the opposite side of the field. There's nobody on the field. This is way before the game. Jim Harbaugh, the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, stands right next to me, Jake. He has a timer. He is timing my punts. He's asking me about my parents. How's your dad doing? Oh, yeah, how's your dad doing? Nice punt. Timing my punts an hour and a half before the game. I was like, dude, what are you doing? The head coach of the opposing team, granted, he had some family connections, but he's a different cat, man. He's a different cat. And a lot of people could guess as to what he's going to do after the game Monday night. A lot of rumors out there that he may go to the NFL. So sorry to go off on a tangent, but you just brought it to me with the Kirby Smart. Get on the bus. We got to get to sleep. We got another game to play.
Yeah, I don't want to throw my position coach under the bus at all, but Tavita Pritchard, he was at Stanford, played with Andrew Luck, and then he continued to stay on staff there, coached under Harbaugh as well. So he's very familiar with Harbaugh, got a lot of Harbaugh stories from his time there with him. But everything that I've heard and seen so far has been on par with the stories and the experiences that he shares with us in the quarterback room. So I don't know if you saw it, but somebody interviewed Harbaugh's parents.
Yes, unbelievable.
After the game.
Unbelievable.
Hilarious.
Spinning image of Jim Harbaugh.
One of the most all-time interviews ever, I thought. And immediately I get it. I send it into the quarterback group message. And Jacoby has got a screenshot from where he had sent it to Coach literally like 30 minutes before. So just hilarious. They're identical twins, just 30 years apart.
That is insane.
Who's got it better than us?
Nobody. That's great. Think about this though. Harbaugh could very well obviously win the national championship. John Harbaugh could very well win the Super Bowl, the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, the Harbaughs could be on top of the football world.
Oh, yeah.
Which would be
unbelievable. Oh, yeah.
All right, let's talk about the game. What do you think is going to happen? Two great quarterbacks. Michael Penix Jr. obviously can deliver it with accuracy like nobody else can, especially left standing. J.J. McCarthy showed his athleticism and his will to win. Michigan's run game is elite. Michigan's run defense is also very good. But Washington, I just keep saying it week after week, Jake, they just find ways to win. Michael Penix versus Texas, 29-38, two touchdowns, 430 yards passing. Michigan only had 351 total yards against Alabama. So what gives in a matchup like this?
Yeah, we're going to hit some broad strokes, and then maybe we're going to condense this thing down and get a good thesis going into the game here. Man, I'm continuing to stay in school here and coming up with some vocab words. But if this game ends up being a shootout, Washington wins. If this is a gritty, physical, nasty game, Michigan wins. I think if Michigan can keep Washington's explosive plays to less than eight, I think Michigan wins. If Michigan plays good defense like they did against Alabama, man, I really like Michigan to win. How well can Washington's front seven hold Michigan's running offense?
Yeah, just affect it, right?
Yeah.
Just disrupt it somehow. Because Blake Corum is a freak. He is a great running back.
Great running back. Can Michigan put two good offensive plans back-to-back in back-to-back weeks? Okay, let's talk about this. Can J.J. McCarthy play on par with Michael Penix Jr.?
In the passing game or simply being as effective as needed? You know, because yeah. I think playing as good as Michael Penix would essentially be don't let Michael Penix touch the ball that much. Like, grind the game out. You cannot give Washington with those elite wide receivers, Rome Odunze, Jalen McMillan, Jalen Polk. Like, those guys are going to get theirs. There's no doubt about it. They do it week after week. Dylan Johnson, the running back at Washington, only had 3.3 yards per carry against Texas. It's nothing to really write home about. But Dylan Johnson, when they were trying to run the clock out, their starting running back got injured. Seems like he's questionable for the game. You would think that they'll give him whatever they possibly can to allow him to play, to take some of the pressure off the passing game. But to answer your question, you have to manage the game, meaning long, sustained drives, in order for Michael Penix and that elite passing attack not to be able to gash you time and time again.
Yeah. I mean, right now, if I'm game planning and I'm Michigan, like you said, I'm telling the offense, we have to go and we're going to try to eat 8 minutes off the clock every single drive. Let's have 12 play drives. Let's run the ball effectively. Hey, if we get to third and three, third and fours, hey, so what? Let's run the ball. That's what we want. And suffocate Washington on offense to make them think that they have to press and go score fast. Because
be a good feeling.
Yeah. Washington's offense isn't going to get in rhythm if they never have the ball. So play keep away this game. And how effective can they be in doing that? I don't know. Honestly, I like Washington to win this football game because they have found a way to win throughout the entire season. Something that you and I both have talked about.
Yep.
You know, is it going to be their knack? Is it going to be a crutch that it's just going to bite them in the rear end sooner or later? But this is the last game, right? And they found a way to win up to this point, and I think they're a good team. They play complimentary ball on both sides of the ball. I think they find a way to win one more game.
Dude, I think so too. Right now on the money line, Washington plus 165. Last time I checked, so you're getting a little something back if you think they're going to take the game, plus 170, just updated Michigan minus 195. The total's 56.5. I think Michigan can score. So if it does get into a shootout, because that's the way Washington's going to win. Washington is not going to win a knockdown dragout against Michigan. I think Washington will get up early. Michigan will be able to put points on the board to keep pace, and then Washington pulls away late. The X factor is the special teams of Michigan. Think about what happened a week ago. Yeah. Fumbled a punt, okay, gave up 7 points, missed a field goal, botched an extra point, and then late in the game, the great forgotten play. When
almost
the guy
almost a safety to lose it.
I mean, what the hell was that dude thinking? The rule is toes on the 10-yard line.
If you back up,
let it go. There is no
backing up. You don't back up.
Exactly.
Your head, you let
exactly.
It go.
Exactly. And he backed up on the 5-yard line, tried to catch it, fumbled it, recovered it, even made a better play by hanging on to it.
Yeah.
And they were down at the 1-yard line. So Michigan special teams is going to have a lot of pressure. This game isn't indoors, obviously. They're going to have a lot of pressure on them because they're going to have the feeling of we can't screw this up for our defense and for our offense, who have been highly effective. 4.5 is too many points. Give me the 4.5 points. I just think this game come down to the wire. I think it's going to be a fantastic matchup. Crazy to think this is the Pac-12's last game.
Yeah.
As a football conference. So Monday night at 12:30 a.m., or call that Tuesday morning at 12:30 a.m., 1 a.m., the Pac-12 football will cease to exist. It's over. It's crazy to think.
It is
so,
so crazy.
What happens then if Washington wins? It will be a great storyline. Pac-12 wins a national title on the way out. But does the Big Ten then absorb that national title? Because it's like when the Big Ten is going to be marketing and advertising, of course they're going to add USC's national titles into their total national title count. So it'll be in the Pac-12 for a good 24 hours, and then boom, it's going into the Big Ten. Crazy to think. Crazy to think.
Do conferences get money bonuses for?
Yeah, but that's all going to the Pac-12 for those specific reasons. That's correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Just thinking about that. I want the good feel good story of the Pac-12 going out on top. I just think it'd be good. I think it'd be neat. Why the Pac-12 is disbanding, I guess I get it, but I like a little bit of history and order and a little bit of tradition, I guess.
Yeah, when you're watching college football at 11:45 p.m. on a Saturday night, you're watching Pac-12 football, no more.
Exactly, and no more.
What's your score prediction? Give me a score prediction before we
watch. So I did say earlier in the pod that if Washington wins, it's probably going to be a shootout. So I think... let's go 38-31 Washington.
Wow. So over the total, 38 points on a defense that is allowing probably around 10 points a game. I like 31 Washington, 28 Michigan. That's what I like.
That's good. That's good too.
31-28. So be a great game. We'll have one more episode of Punt and Pass for you after the national championship game. If I can sneak in Jake Fromm between his duck hunting expeditions, we'll get a nice little recap, talk about whatever else is going on.
Oh, I got you,
football world.
I got
because,
you slated, Coach. I got you slated. Tuesday morning.
There you go.
I got you a window, Coach.
I love it. I love it. Well, I'll definitely get that on the books because we might have some Harbaugh news to break. We might have some other news on some transfers or some coach openings, because once that Michigan job opens up, if it does, watch out. They're going to go after whoever they want. That is a bit. I think so too. And then who gets the LSU job? So Jake Fromm, he knows where I'm going for those rumors that are out there right now. But national championship game going to be a good one. Again, please download the Prize Picks app. Make the national championship viewing experience even better and profitable with Prize Picks. Download the Prize Picks app. Use the promo code PUNT. You get a 100% deposit match up to your first $100. Pick 2 to 6 players. Guess that they will go more or less in their Prize Picks projection, and you can win 25x your money. Again, promo code PUNT, prizepicks.com, at Prize Picks on X and Instagram. I'm at Drew Butler. He's at From Jake, at Punt and Pass, puntandpass.com. Mr. Fromm, anything on the way out, my man?
No, get your popcorn. Tune in. It's going to be a good game down the wire.
Absolutely. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we will talk to you on Tuesday. See ya.
We up.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation, like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.